Hey friends, and welcome to the Moving Mountains podcast. Moving Mountains is a place to hear true stories of modern day miracles told by ordinary people just like you and me. My name is Paige, and I'm joined here in Alaska by my dear friends Margaret and Bernadette as we witness accounts of how God has worked in people's lives in big and small ways. As you listen to these stories of hope, answered prayers, and unexplained phenomena, we invite you to allow this space to inspire your faith and even to help you recognize the ways in which God is moving mountains in your own life. Hi, friends, and welcome back to the podcast. Today is a very unique episode that we have. So today we have two guests. We have Father Madison Hayes, who is a priest here in Alaska. Father, say hello.
Hello.
And we have a very special guest joining us all the way from Italy. His name is Stefano. Stefano, say ciao.
Ciao.
Welcome.
Today, we do not have Bernadette with us recording. Sadly, she is very sick. So just prayers for Berna. But she will hopefully be with us in the next episode that we record. So today with Stefano, he is going to be sharing his miraculous story of his healing. He has a healing that has been deemed a miracle by the Catholic Church and has been put towards a woman's beatification. And so Stefano will be sharing all about that miracle, and he'll be sharing a little bit about the woman who became a blessed because of the miraculous healing he experienced. But before we dive into that, we are going to have Father Madison introduce himself a little bit and why he's here. Stefano is he does not speak English, so Father Madison is going to be our translator, and this is the first time we've ever done anything like this. So we hope you guys enjoy it, and Father Madison, you now have the floor.
Hello, greetings in Christ. My name is Father Madison Hayes, and I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Anchorage, Juneau, here in Alaska. I serve as a parochial vicar here in what we call the Valley. I have five different churches that I kind of rotate in between. And I also, other than my ministry here in the Archdiocese of Anchorage, Juneau, I serve part-time as a Air Force chaplain, so a military chaplain. We have an Air Force base in Anchorage called Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, so I help out there too. The reason why Paige asked me to come on to this podcast was I studied in Rome for 5 years. So I picked up Italian. I studied for 3 years at the Angelicum with the Dominicans. But then the last 2 years I was there, I studied at, it's called the Accademia Afonziana, which is run by the Redemptorist priests. And I studied moral theology, where I got my license in moral theology. Anyway, so this, I think, in itself will be a miracle if we can get through this podcast and I can translate the story that Stefano wants to share. Allora, Stefano, sì, puoi fare un poco introduzione?
Ciao a tutti, io sono Stefano Vitali, vivo a Rimini in Italia e ho 57 anni.
So Stefano, he lives in Rimini, Italy, and he lives in a family home with his four children, his wife, and he also has a person living with them who is disabled, who they help. He said he's 57 years old, and to say nato in a Rimini.
Sì, 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 sono nato a Rimini, sono di Rimini.
Sì, Rimini, San Antonio de Padua fa un miracolo a Rimini, sì?
Sì, il parlare gli animali, ho fatto parlare...
Pescare, sì.
Sì, sì.
De pesce?
Pesce, sì, sì. C'è una piccola chiesa che ricorda questo miracolo a Rimini.
Ah. So the town that Stefano is from in Italy, Rimini, Italy, is actually famous for another miracle. From St. Anthony of Padua. It's where he spoke to the fish in the sea. He preached to the fish. So we have even a little other historical miracle other than Stefano's miracle. Allora, Stefano, adesso poco poco la tua storia di Beata Sandra, e per favore parlare molto piano, grazie.
Allora, io quando avevo 40 anni ho iniziato a dimagrire, a diventare molto magro e ad avere tanti dolori, molti dolori a livello della mia pancia. E
so fino a che you were experiencing a sickness when you were 40 years old, and eventually it got so bad that he went into the hospital to receive his first exam. And on the first analysis at the hospital, it was determined that he had cancer in his intestines. So after the first analysis, the medical professionals thought it could be cured, treated naturally. And later, during the operation, it was found out that not only did he have cancer in his intestines, but that it had spread to his entire body.
Quando mi hanno operato era il 25 agosto del 2007, quando il chirurgo.
So after the first operation in 2006, the doctors had explained to him and his wife that there was basically nothing else that they could do. And instead of remaining there at the hospital and undergoing further treatment there, they released him and he decided to just go back to his home.
Wow.
Voi potete capire, a 40 anni, nel pieno della forza di un uomo, no? Della sua forza. E fino al giorno prima ti sentivi.
So he began to lose a lot of his strength at 40 years old. That was a tough experience for him, finding out that he wasn't omnipotent, he wasn't all powerful. And his first kind of spiritual reaction was one of desperation. Although he wasn't scared of death, it was just overall the experience of losing his strength and his, you know, trying to deal that with his family and living situation, and that there was, it just became a little overburdensome.
See.
So at first, he, you know, he had that very strong reaction of desperation and experienced that from some time. But then he remembered the words from the founder of this community that helped him kind of change his spiritual outlook. That and it was a saying that is basically a prayer to the Lord that, you know, Lord, I don't know why you know, I don't know why you're doing what you're doing, but I know that you know what you're doing. And so it was an opportunity to surrender to the Lord's will and trust in him and know that that because Jesus knows what he's doing, that everything can be experienced as a grace.
E allora io ho cercato di vivere quel tempo che mi rimaneva da vivere come un tempo da vivere, non come un tempo di attesa della morte. Perché era importante riuscire comunque a vivere questo tempo in maniera
sì.
forte.
So he decided with this new spiritual outlook to decide to live with the time that he had, that he wasn't dead. And it was different, you know, when people live their lives, they have many things to do, and they're so distracted, they experience time a little bit differently. But because of his diagnosis and his illness and his condition, he was able to let go and live the time to really experience healing, even though physically he wasn't being healed, but experience some spiritual healing with him and his family.
Can you ask him how long he had been given, like how many months he had been given?
Mm-hmm. Stefano, quanti mesi o anni il dottore ha spiegato che, you know, tu hai, you know, 5 mesi per vivere.
6 mesi.
Six months. So the doctor said you have 6 months to live.
9 or 12 dipendeva dalla chemioterapia. Se la chemioterapia funzionava, potevo avere più tempo, ma il tempo mm-hmm. medio era 6 mesi.
6 months, ok. Allora, sì, e poi quando tu inizia la preghiera di Beata Sandra?
Io non comincio la preghiera,
ah, okay?
Perché io avevo una fede che mm-hmm. era molto razionale, molto di testa, ok? Che uh-huh. si basa su come io vivo il Vangelo e il Signore mi chiederà conto di questo. Uh-huh. La mia fede non prevedeva un intervento dall'alto, cioè non so se mi... ok? E quindi io non pregavo per guarire, io pregavo per essere in pace, cioè per stare, per vivere serenamente quel tempo che mi rimaneva da vivere.
Mm-hmm. So you did not initiate the prayer or the intercession of Blessed Sandra because your faith was rational, kind of, you know, a little bit different. And so the way that you viewed the gospel from this perspective was that you didn't need anybody else's help, that you could rely on Jesus, and that was your basic outlook, spiritual outlook during that time.
Però io avevo in mente una domanda che dovevo fare al Signore, no?
Quale domanda?
La domanda era: ma Signore, perché a me? Perché?
Hmm.
Che ho 40 anni, che ho i figli piccoli, perché mi chiedi a me questa cosa? Che poi voglio dire, ho fatto anche una vita cioè...
So you had questions that you asked in your head to Jesus, which were basically why me? Why me? You know, you're 40 years old, you had you know, you had a lot of things that you were looking forward to in your life, and so you started to ask the Lord those questions. E che che risponde il Signore?
Io questa domanda l'ho fatta al nostro fondatore, Don Oreste Benzi,
mm-hmm.
che è venuto a casa mia.
Don Oreste.
Don Oreste. Oreste.
Padre Oreste Benzi. Oreste.
Che viene a casa Benzi. Mia.
E qual è il nome della comunità?
È Pop John 23rd.
Oh, forza.
Don Oreste viene a casa mia il 3 settembre del 2007 e io gli avevo chiesto di parlare del perché a me. Ok.
So on the 3rd of September in 2006, you were still asking the question why me? And you had a conversation with the founder of your community, Father Oreste Benzi, and the community's name is Pope John the 23rd. And he advised you to stop asking questions and to pray. And that prayer was to ask you and ask all of your community to beseech the intercession of Blessed Sandra.
E io vi devo dire che a me di quella cosa non importava assolutamente niente. Perché per me la cosa importante era la discussione.
So you weren't so initially you weren't interested in that intercessory prayer. You were still kind of focused on yourself. You were still asking why me? And so che cambiare la tua perspettiva?
I don't understand.
La domanda perché io, mm-hmm. perché io, why me? Che Che cosa cambiare la sua prospettiva spirituale?
Perché avrei capito se lui mi spiegava cosa è il significato anche di quei mesi pochi che mi rimanevano da vivere, no? Come viverli col sorriso e non con la paura di morire, no? A me serviva la forza di affrontare gli ultimi mesi della mia vita col sorriso, col
happiness,
okay. Sì, quello è che era la cosa più importante per me, non guarire, perché io non potevo guarire.
Okay, so it was important for you. It was important for you to live those 6 months of your life happily and not in fear of death, and that was your focus.
E quindi quando Don Oreste ha detto,
yeah, you weren't very, so you weren't interested in the advice that Don Oreste gave you. You were just focused on living as basically those last 6 months, you know, to just focused on yourself, you know, trying to be happy, not focused on death, not really concerned and really dismissive of his advice to ask her intercession.
E come vi dicevo prima, era il 3 settembre, ok? Io avevo fatto, il giorno dopo dovevo fare il secondo ciclo di chemioterapia.
Ok.
E i miei esami erano in quel momento al massimo del marker tumorale. Io proprio ho avuto il massimo del marker tumorale.
So the day after that conversation, so it would have been September 4th, you went to have, it was your second treatment for chemotherapy, and it showed the maximum level of cancer in your body.
Yes.
Okay.
E il 16 ottobre, quindi un mese e mezzo dopo, il primario di oncologia dell'ospedale.
So on the 16th of October, you went back to the oncology department there at the hospital, and they said, Stefano, don't ask me how this happened, but your levels have returned to normal, to completely normal.
Io sono i primi esami che ho fatto, che sono puliti, liberi da malattia, sono del 6 novembre del 2007, che è stato il giorno dopo i funerali del nostro fondatore.
So on the 7th of November the next year, so 2017.
Sorry.
2007. 2007,
sorry.
Lost in translation.
So, yeah. Grazie. Sì, piano piano. Allora, so on the 7th of November 2007, that was the first day where you were completely free from all traces of cancer. And the next day, the 8th of November, that was the funeral for your founder, Don Oreste. Yes. Sì?
So can we back up? Mm-hmm. So on September 4th, he received news that he had the maximum amount of cancer in his body, essentially. Mm-hmm. So was that then the turning point for him when he said, okay, let's do the prayer and ask for Blessed Sandra's intercession?
Allora, al 4 di settembre del 2006, ho trovato il massimo livello di cancer. Fai un girando in la sua prospettiva spirituale e hai chiesto Beata Sandra per un miracolo o no?
Io non ho mai chiesto mai la mia guarigione, io, Stefano, non ho mai chiesto.
Durante
mai
la sua...
Mai.
So you never personally asked Blessed Sandra for her intercession.
Oh.
But you're mine.
Wow.
So it was other people, especialmente Don Oreste.
Don Oreste, my wife, my friends, a lot of people. But me, no, no, my, never.
No.
Wow.
It shows the I mean, the story is not complete yet, but I think we know the result. But the necessity of community and the importance of community, because you weren't, he wasn't asking for it. You weren't asking for it, Stefano, but everyone around you wanted you to live.
That reminds me of the story when they lower the paralytic into in front of Jesus.
Yeah.
And, you know, that person didn't do anything themselves, you know, and it was different. And actually Jesus said their faith to save you.
Yeah. Wow.
Quindi questa è la storia che poi Papa Francesco ha riconosciuto come miracolo il 2 ottobre del 2019. Quindi per questo motivo, per questo miracolo, poi Sandra Sabatini è stata beatificata, quindi ha ricevuto la beatificazione.
So Pope Francis on October 2nd, 2019 declared your case to be a miracle toward the beatification of Blessed Sandra. Quando la investigazione con Roma, la curia, iniziare?
È lunga, molto lunga. Io ho fatto la prima testimonianza nel 2010.
So your first testimony that you gave to Rome was in
Rimini.
2000...
Rimini, the first in is in the diocesi.
Il vescovo, un prete.
Sì. Vescovo di Rimini.
Sì.
Prima c'è il processo nella diocesi.
Sì.
Quando la diocesi dice è probabile che ci sia qualcosa di importante, la diocesi manda tutto a Roma.
So in 2010, in your hometown of Rimini, the bishop there for the diocese initiated the process. And once they decided that it was probable that there was a case for the miracle, they referred it to Rome. So it was un processo di nove, più o meno nove anni.
Sì, e per quello che riguarda la Chiesa è una cosa abbastanza veloce.
So, and actually in the church, you're right, in the church, that is a very quick case.
That's true, yeah. Going back to when Stefano was told that, you know, his cancer was gone, can you ask him, how did he feel about that? Did he, like, how did he feel about Blessed Sandra and her intercession during that time? And yeah, just what, like, how was the community reacting to all of that?
Allora, Stefano, per favore, spiegare tua esperienza del giorno del 7 di novembre, quando tu capire che il cancro
è andato via.
Era, sì.
Il Vangelo di Luca.
Sì. So, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus encounters 10 lepers and heals them. And the story says that 9 of them went on to do whatever with the rest of their life. And it said that one returned to Jesus. After Stefano had learned of his, that his condition had been healed, it kind of reminds him of that story, that, you know, what happens after Jesus heals you? What are the next steps of your life? That the evangelist Luke presents, you know, kind of the full story, that you know, that mostly people aren't sure what to do, you know, that they don't really have a plan to go on for the rest of their life. That he was so focused on, you know, during that time where he thought he had 6 months to live, and that Every day, you know, he had a plan of what he wanted to do. And but then now all of a sudden he's healed. And so, you know, it presents that case in the gospel where, yeah, usually we focus on the one who returned to Jesus. But, you know, those other nine, their experience was basically, you know, what do you do from now on? Allora, non immediatamente ritorni a Gesù e rendiamo grazie.
Mi hai chiesto se non mi viene in mente di ringraziare Gesù.
Non immediatamente, no?
No. Io ho ringraziato. Yeah.
So he did. So Stefano is saying he wasn't the one leper in his story. He didn't immediately return to Jesus and give thanks.
Né Sandra, no?
Tu sei come il nove.
Nove leprosi. Yes. 90%. Sì.
90%. Stefano was in the 90 percentile.
And like, what was his perspective of Blessed Sandra at that time?
E durante immediatamente dopo il diagnosi e cure, tu hai un percezione di Beato Sandra o no?
Tanti anni dopo.
Molti Many years anni after. Dopo.
Mm. Wow.
Quando io ho capito, per tanti motivi, soprattutto perché tante persone che sono state male di cancro, che io ho conosciuto, sono morte, tante, tante. Mm-hmm. Io a un certo punto ho capito che quello che mi era successo non era una cosa normale. Mm-hmm. Ma tanti anni dopo...
So only many years after, when you had understood that your case was not normal, that you had seen so many people die from cancer, and you were able to come to a new appreciation of her intercession because of the uniqueness of your miraculous healing. So after your healing, you returned to kind of the same spiritual state that you were in while you had cancer, where you focused on yourself, but you felt some guilt associated with, you know, focusing on yourself, asking yourself every morning, you know, why me? Why was I healed? Especially when you saw other people who died, who would die from cancer. And so you returned to that same perspective, focusing on yourself and asking yourself, why me?
You remember, why me? No? Perché a me?
Yeah, yeah.
No? One time. Sì. Una volta sola l'ho chiesto io. E quindi io ho vissuto un tempo della mia vita molto doloroso, ma tanto doloroso. In psichiatria si chiama sindrome del sopravvissuto, che è stata studiata con Auschwitz.
Sopravvissuto.
Survivor. Survivor syndrome.
Survivor.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Survivor's,
yes, survivor's guilt.
Survivor's guilt, yeah. Survivor's guilt.
E quindi io ho vissuto molti anni, cioè molto tempo della mia vita molto doloroso, perché non capivo perché a me.
You had experienced great suffering from your survivor's guilt.
E fino a che ho cercato di capire perché Don Oreste, il nostro fondatore, aveva scelto Sandra. Perché? Aveva detto Sandra, no? Tu pensa, tu sei un prete, no? Tu dici, se c'è qualcosa che non va, io chiedo a Padre Pio, cioè chiedo a un santo, cioè chiedo a un santo importante, ok? A un santo, chiedo alla Madonna, chiedo a Padre Pio. Perché Sandra? Why? Perché?
So you started to ask yourself, why did Father Arete choose Sandra above any other saint, you know, like Padre Pio, right? Somebody who you would go to if you wanted some, you know, miracle, or Saint Anthony of Padua, you know, who was from,
saints, no?
Or any of all the saints, why did he choose Blessed Sandra?
Who wasn't even a blessed at the time.
Who wasn't even a blessed at the time.
Because she needed a miracle, guys.
Ecco, e io ho incominciato a conoscere Sandra, quindi
okay.
Proprio perché cercavo il senso, cioè perché non avresti scelto Sandra, ok?
Yeah, so you began your own investigation to learn who she was.
E quello che mi ha sorpreso, che mi ha colpito, è che io ho conosciuto una ragazza.
So in your investigation, learning about who she was, you found out that she died very young, but she also knew her vocation from a very young age, and her rapport or her character, in kind of in a nutshell, was that she lived in the presence of God every day, that she was in constantly in the presence of God, always speaking to him, always communicating, and that, yeah, it was being with God every day. And one of the most important things about Blessed Sandra is that whenever somebody asked her something, she would always respond yes. She would always find a way to respond yes.
Anche se non capiva perché.
Yeah, so even if, you know, didn't need to know the reason why, didn't need to know particulars, but found a way always just to say yes.
Perché lei aveva capito.
So, and that is rooted in her understanding that she had, that it's not about what I want, but how I can do God's will, how I can do what he wants.
Quanto tempo? Pensiamoci.
Yeah, when we're focused on our own desires, then it gets disordered. That, you know, it's not about me, and it's about God. It's about what he wants. And transforming our desire. It kind of makes me think of, you know, the question you had been asking yourself, you know, why me? Focus so much on yourself. That when we're focused so much on our own desires, then we are not able to do God's will. So Blessed Sandra, her understanding was that if I say yes, if I'm able to say yes, that God would give me the strength and the grace to do his will. As long as I just say yes. And that the greatest reward, the greatest gift that God gives to those who do his will is joy and happiness. And it's kind of the opposite. When we focus on our own desires, when we're focused so much, God kind of withholds that joy sometimes. But when we're able to say yes
to him, tu incontri una persona che ha un sorriso così bello e così vero che tu ti dici, ma perché è così felice? No? Perché?
Yeah. Yeah, and it kind of prompts the question, when you meet somebody who's truly joyful and truly, you know, has that deep happiness or blessedness, it prompts you to ask why? Why, you know, why is she so happy? Or why is he so happy?
Mm. Ecco, allora io ho capito perché Don Oreste aveva scelto Sandra.
And that is why you think that Father Oreste chose Blessed Sandra, because she knew what it took to be truly happy.
Perché io dovevo capire che la mia seconda vita, ok?
Mm-hmm.
Doveva essere quel sì continuo, no? A lui. Alle proposte e non quello che io voglio mm-hmm. fare.
Mm-hmm.
Perché io.
So your second, yeah.
No, okay.
So your second in your second life. I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, he chose her to intercede for your miraculous healing. Yes, but maybe even a bigger miracle is your spiritual healing, where you were able to stop focusing so much on what you wanted. And learn to say yes to God's will and experience true happiness. And that is what you learned when you started finding out more about who she was. Mm. And you came to this deeper understanding of it wasn't, yeah, there was a miracle within the miracle.
Yes.
Un altro miracolo.
Cioè che per me, Stefano, che non ho mai chiesto a Sandra di guarire, ok, perché ci tengo a dirlo, ecco, per me è Non dico, chiedo scusa, forse mi sbaglio, cioè forse dico una cosa che non si capisce. Il vero miracolo per me è questa parte qua.
Okay? That's the true miracle.
Cioè,
la seconda parte.
Ok? Perché mi fa vedere la strada che devo percorrere. Un giorno il vescovo di Rimini, il vescovo Francesco, mi ha detto: Stefano, tu devi vivere la tua vita come i servi alle nozze di Cana. Presente?
Che serve?
Servi alle nozze di Cana, del Vangelo, delle nozze di Cana, il primo miracolo di Gesù.
Sì.
Ok?
Sì.
Maria,
the wedding at Cana.
Maria dice. Maria dice ai
servi. Do whatever he tells you.
Okay. Maria dice ai servi, Maria, tutto quello che vi dirà di fare, voi fatelo.
That's beautiful. So when you had a conversation with the Bishop of Rimini, Francesco, and you came to that realization that you could be like the servants at the wedding of Feast of Cana, who Mary told to do whatever he tells you, which is kind of like Blessed Sandra, who found a way to say yes.
Amen.
Do whatever he tells you. Yes.
Ecco allora.
And for you, but for you, that's the miracle.
Yes. Yes, this is the miracle.
Because, the more important miracle, because, right? Yeah. The spiritual healing. Mm-hmm.
Ecco, perché io non mi chiedo più perché a me. Non posso più perdere tempo a sentirmi in colpa perché a me. Io devo vivere il mio tempo, no? Secondo quello che Sandra viveva. Cioè, come Sandra lo viveva.
Yeah, so now you are able to try to live like Blessed Sandra lives. To change your life, to be transformed. And that's the true miracle. And actually, Jesus, whenever he heals somebody's physical ailments, there's always a deeper spiritual healing that he wants to affect, right? And the deeper spiritual healing for you is to transform your desire to do God's will, which is, I mean, that's beautiful.
Can you ask Stefano if he was able to be at the beatification for her and how that felt for him, just being closer to her spiritually in that time, and yeah, just what that experience was like for him.
Il giorno de beatificazione de Beato Sandra, puoi andare al beatificazione.
Beh, io sono andato, sì, certo, alla beatificazione.
Yeah, you went.
No? E il miracolato deve portare, la tradizione della Chiesa, quindi il miracolato porta, diciamo, un pezzo del corpo della Beata all'altare. Durante la processione delle offerte, offertoriale, cioè tu porti un pezzo cioè una reliquia, non so come dire.
Oh, so in the procession, so you were able to attend her beatification, and in the tradition of the church, those who have been associated with the miracle attributing to their beatification were able to, in the procession, carry her relics.
Wow, cool.
Wow.
Ma una cosa che chi legge la storia di Sandra sa è che il corpo di Sandra non è mai stato trovato.
They weren't able to find her body?
C'è solo un cappello. Un cappello
della Bellina. Oh my.
Quindi non esiste il corpo di Sandra, perché quando hanno scavato per presente, sì, dopo 25 anni dalla morte, si toglie il corpo, per riesumarlo, si dice in Italia, non so come
non l'hanno trovato.
Non l'hanno trovato.
So after, yeah, when they did the excavation, which is done in the Yeah, which is done in the process of beatification. You have to identify the body. They weren't able to find her remains.
Which, this is pretty crazy because Blessed Sandra's very modern. She died in the 80s.
Yeah.
1980s. So,
what? So the relic was a piece of her hair.
Perché il suo fidanzato...
Allora, Stefano, puoi spiegare questa fenomena? Perché è un poco strano per me.
We don't know. Non lo sappiamo, perché quando è stato scavato, c'era tanta gente, c'era il vescovo, c'erano tante persone, i parenti di Sandra. Quando è stato scavato, hanno trovato solo alcuni pezzi di legno della bara, della bara, dove...
I vesti?
Pezzi di legno.
The wood from the...
From the bara, the come wood si dice from... bara? La cassa da morte,
albero?
No, quando tu fai il funerale,
casket.
Quando tu fai il funerale,
sì,
la persona la metti dentro la, come si dice, la cassa da morto?
Sì, il casket.
Okay.
Sì, sì.
Hanno trovato solo dei pezzi della bara, solo dei pezzi di legno, wood.
Yeah, only the pieces of wood.
Sì, niente,
no, dentro,
non c'è
nada,
nulla dentro. Niente, nulla.
So when they did the excavation, they found parts of her casket, but they did not find any remains. And in there, the bishop was there, her parents, her family was there, her relatives, and you were there?
No, I know. No, you know. Non c'è.
Okay. So anyway, but other people, the people who were there, they did the excavation and they weren't.
Wow.
And there's no explanation.
Wow. Stefano, do you have any like relationship with Blessed Sandra's family?
Sì, conosco suo papà, il babbo di Sandra è morto 2 anni fa, però io l'ho conosciuto, insomma, lo conoscevo bene.
The father of Sandra passed away 2 years ago. But you knew him.
C'è suo fratello che è un medico dell'ospedale di Riccione, cioè quindi qui è un dottore, un medico dell'ospedale, io conosco.
Uh-huh.
E
her brother, who's a medical professional in the same region, is you know him.
E altri parenti che comunque sono miei amici, sì, certo.
Yeah, and you're friends with her other relatives.
Wow.
I was going to say something earlier, but it was basically discussed, just the beauty of the secondary miracle. It's the healing and then the spiritual healing that the Lord was doing on your heart, Stefano. It's incredible. It's so interesting too, the power of community and the power of prayer and then the Lord connecting you to Sandra. It's just beautiful. And I'm so thankful that you shared, and I appreciate your honesty of you weren't asking for healing. You kind of just accepted it. And how the Lord just transformed your heart through that is beautiful.
Bene, allora, Stefano, la storia che tu hai spiegato è preciosa. È veramente 2 miracoli. Sì, 2 miracoli. Però soprattutto che tu hai detto, il secondo miracolo è molto è molto meglio per la sua vita eterna, sì?
Sì, e per la mia vita futura, no? Quindi per la mia vita.
Sì.
Perché io voglio trovare quel sorriso, no? Voglio che quando qualcuno mi incontri dice, perché è così felice? Cosa ha fatto?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No? Yeah.
E...
Hai trovato la felice che Sandra ha esperienza?
Ho trovato?
Hai trovato questa happiness?
Ci sto provando, perché poi bisogna dire mm-hmm. sì. Cioè mm-hmm. bisogna yeah. sempre yeah. dire sì, anche quando non vuoi, anche quando dici no.
Yeah. So when you find it whenever you're able to say yes. to Jesus. That's when you have.
And I just want to add also, Stefano, we're able to do video, and so we're able to see Stefano right now. And I just have to say, you have a glow and a joy about you. And so I think that, yeah, that's probably from everything you've experienced as well. But I just want to affirm you in that you seem to be a very joyful man. And I wish we could have you over for a cappuccino.
un caffè più buono.
Dopo il pomeriggio un caffè
espresso, però caffè espresso, non
sì, espresso sì.
Un cappuccino afternoon.
Allora, molto molto grazie Stefano.
A voi.
Allora adesso abbiamo bisogno di finire.
Certo.
Sì. Però finire con un preghiera, certo. Ok. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Blessed Sandra.
Pray for us.
Pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Stefano. Molto grazie.
Grazie.
Ciao.
Ciao.
That was great. You did great.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys want to just do mini miracles really quick?
I actually was going to say that we weren't going to do mini miracles because of time, but we should put them in the show notes, but we can.
Because Father still has a couple minutes, so we could just do a quick round of mini miracles.
Sure.
All right. Margaret, go.
My mini miracle is nature. It's getting warmer in Alaska. Our spring is very different than everyone else's spring, but I've been taking walks and I saw three moose the other day, and the melting and the sunshine is just so glorious after a long winter. So that's mine. How about you, Paige?
Nice. My mini miracle, I would say, is also the sunshine. We were outside playing yesterday, and we're kind of at a point where the boys are getting cabin fever a little bit, just like running around our small little townhome.
Yes.
So it's very nice to be able to get outside, get in the sun. They're not even wearing their coats half the time, and it's still 30 degrees outside, but that sun just feels so good in the spring. So yeah, that's definitely mine. What about you, Father?
My mini miracle was every Wednesday I go to the prison. I just say mass and hear confessions. And I've been doing it for a couple months now. And sometimes we'll get new people who come in. So just an experience that I had with one of the people coming in for the first time and had been away from the church for a super long time. And obviously has gone through a lot of different, difficult, challenging experiences, which, you know, wound them up incarcerated. But just seeing their own little miraculous, you know, healing and journey back towards God, even through that very difficult experience, and them just opening up and sharing that with me, motivated me and brought me some joy.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Father Madison, so much for being here and being our translator. And thank you guys for listening to this. It was a very unique and different episode, but I really hope that you guys enjoyed it. And I wish we could have spoken to him and asked him so many more questions for like 2 more hours. But yeah, we will see you guys next week. Bye.
Hi, friends. We wanted to take a moment to say thank you so much for your support and encouragement that has brought us all the way to season 3 of this podcast. We are so grateful that our little homemade project has come so far, and we look forward to continuing to share these powerful miracle stories with all of our listeners. We consider the Moving Mountains podcast to be a ministry, and we give freely of our time, but do have limited resources, which has at times resulted in mediocre sound quality and production of our episodes. Since the beginning, we've had many people ask how they can help support us, so we recently decided to address this topic. One dream is to hire a producer to improve the quality of our recordings. Also, thus far, our podcast has been shared by word of mouth, thanks to all of you. But we would love to expand this ministry by advertising our podcast so that more people have access to the miracles recorded here. If you feel called to support this ministry, please search for Moving Mountains Podcast on patreon.com or check out the link included in our show notes and on our Instagram profile. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Moving Mountains Podcast. If you have a miracle story to tell, please call our hotline at 412-449-9609. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at Moving Mountains Podcast AK. We encourage you to subscribe, leave us a rating and review, and share our podcast with others. We'll see you next time.